We're going to look at chapter 4, and we'll be that way. And we're still talking about new. And you guys know my perspective about new. New is what you got. Every day is a new day. You got new. You don't have to look very far to find new. And but today we're going to look at it from the perspective of new living. Authors have entitled our lesson, A New Way of Life. And we're going to look at the first 12 verses of the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. A New Way of Life, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. A New Way of Life. Paul is encouraging and exhorting the church at Thessalonica. The Thessalonians are, for those of you who have been here, know that this was a bastion of culture and economics, and but also it was a bastion of immorality. On the report from Timothy, Terry, I don't recall Timothy giving a report specifically that there was some immorality going on, but it seems to be the theme of our text today. But actually, I want you to look closer at this particular passage of Scripture, because what it does, it provides us, the church at Resurrection and the Rock, a prescription for pleasing God. When you get saved, your earnest desire should be, and most often is, to just please God. Just do what the Lord says do. And what Paul is doing by apostolic authority this morning is that he is sharing with the church at Thessalonica, just reminding some and cautioning others that, you know, there is a way to live when you get saved. See, because go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, is not the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter is teaching them to observe all things, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. See, because you get people saved, that's why you go, and as you go, you disciple. But once they get saved and you get them in church, you got to teach them how to live saved. Oh, y'all don't hear me? Everything, you know, falls right on the foundation, the 28, 19, 20. Everything that we do. As a matter of fact, our Vision 2020 is called Vision 2020, simply because we are approaching and a milestone, we're looking at a milestone in the year 2020. But that vision really is M1920, Matthew 19 and 20. that's exactly what it is. We know what that vision is because we know what that vision statement is. But out of it, Paul is saying, you got to look ahead of where you were last year when you accepted Christ. There's a new way to live now. You accepted salvation, now live out this salvation. And basically, he addresses it in three major points this morning. He talks about, he says, those elements that will please God and ensure that you're on your way to good, wholesome Christian living is in the area of holiness, love, and work. Oh, somebody better help me. I know y'all read the lesson. I know you're ready for this one because you knew exactly what I was not going to hold back. Because, see, once you get saved, you don't do a lot of assimilation of the world. You dispose of the world, you assimilate the values that are important to God. Y'all didn't hear me. See, because more and more in this day and age, just look around and you see how many folk are beginning to look just like the world. The world seems divided, so we get divided in our churches. We get divided in our ministry. You can't even have a decent conversation with anybody anymore because they'll snap your head off. You know, people don't even recognize compliments anymore. You know, you have to be careful how you even compliment. You might offend someone. You can't even say what's on your heart. I was looking, Rob, the other night about Beto O'Rourke saying that he was born to run. Now, there cannot be nothing more innocent than that. I was born to run. Oh, I was born to do this. Oh, well, that's so offensive. That's so offensive because, you know, that excludes, he's rich and he's white and he's a male and that excludes female. What? But tell me what, I had to look around because in the ministries, at the Resurrection Baptist Church, same thing. You have to walk around pins and needles. I'm saved, you saved. And we got to walk around on pins and needles with one another. That's acting like the world. There ain't nothing new. That's very old. And one of the worst things to do is to take something brand new and put old in it. I mean, Jesus' first miracle, you know, new wineskin, new wine, old wineskins. Can you trust them? You ought to act new. What would you put on? Brand new hat. Brand new suit. Brand new tie. Brand new socks. Brand new underwear. And not take a bath. Oh, I'm coming at you this morning. See, because you are new and you're new in Christ. So you're new and you ought to act like you're new. You shouldn't assimilate the old in with your newness. Well, let's see. Let's see if I'm right. Check me out on three areas. If you really want to please God. Verse 1 says what? And exhort that as there's a purpose for you living the way that you need to live. God is holy and he wants you to be holy. And he doesn't want you to be a little bit holy. He wants you to abound. See, when Jesus declared that I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly, he wants you to have abundant life. So abundant life is newness of life. Every day you're at another level. You're not where you were. You don't want to get somewhere and stay right there where you came in. It's very dangerous living on the edge of where you came from. So he says, you ought to want to do it more and more. And the want to do here, he's saying, I'm not suggesting. That beseech there is not a suggestion. It's more imperative, a command. The exhorting, he says, I'm telling you and I'm encouraging you. You ought to abound more in the Lord because God is holy now. So if you're going to abound more in the Lord, you ought to be becoming more and more holy. Y'all not with me, so I got to take you to basic doctrine because this is evangelism time. Take your notes, Willie. Because see, what happens is you have been saved, but now you are being saved. That sanctification, being saved is sanctification. Every day you should be coming, you should look in the mirror, and every day you should look a little bit more like Christ and less like the world that you just came out of. Listen, he says, I want that you abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus. In other words, Jesus gave some commandments. And the more dominant one is discussed here today in the lesson. However, Paul didn't go into all the commandments, but he says, I want to talk to you about something that you've already been taught, but I just want to reinforce it for you. See, we were told some things when we got saved, but then when you get saved, you get cute and go in a corner and you forget some of the stuff. So I'm going to remind you that the only way you're ever going to please God is you've got to live holy. Check me out in verse 3. Y'all will see it. Verse 3 says what? Now, he picks out one. Please just don't focus in on that one. You know, because there's more to being holy than your sexual improprieties. But he says it is a big issue with almost every human. That's why he's going to talk about it. He says if they're going to get in trouble, they're going to get in trouble about this. And he says, first of all, you can't be fornicating. And in other words, you can't supersede the commandments of God, no matter how you feel. You don't do what you feel. You do what the Word of God says. Y'all don't like me this morning, but it's all right. It's all right. Because here's the thing. What has happened is that people try to pervert grace. For by grace are you saved? They try to pervert mercy. In other words, you can't come into church and live any kind of way you want to. All the sexual improprieties. You know, and there are folk that have issues with other things. Yes, it's unholy. But Paul says, I want to focus on this right here. Because this right here is a big distraction to you. And if you're going to live holy, if this is going to put you at odds with a holy God, this is one of the areas. And he says, abstain. Your sanctification depends on it. But let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you're going to get saved today and you're able to abstain tomorrow. Oh, y'all don't hear me? But last time I checked, you were saving 57. Now, come on now. Ain't nothing like an old fool. You're still doing the same stuff. Don't know how it is. I mean, sometimes you go back home for family reunion. The guys want you to do what you did when you were 18 years old, Steve. What? Are you crazy? I ain't that foolish. I ain't that foolish. You shouldn't be doing the same thing that you were doing in your old life. Because you're going to see your living is a testimony to other folk. And when unbelievers come to church and find in church that they're doing exactly what they were just doing out there in the street, they say, no reason to come. You know, because I can have fun in the street. I don't have to pay tithes. Come on now. So it says, you should what?
No.
Yeah, wait a minute. Do you notice how some people are trying to get away from the phrase that I am directing them to? Ye should what? Abstain. That's not Deacon Sneed. That's the Word of God. So if anybody run back and tell, hey, this is, okay, all right. Verse 4 says what? Do you know what that means? You should be able to control yourself. You should be able to manage yourself in sanctification. There's a certain, people don't want to take responsibility. If you think that just coming to resurrection, sitting in the pew, getting involved in ministry is going to enable you to manage yourself, you're wrong. You have been given a manager. We're going to show you what happened. But you are ultimately responsible for managing yourself. You've got to possess your own vessel. You've got to maintain your own purity. And for a number of good reasons. We're inside it where people don't care about stuff. And you know what? We talk about the world and what they're doing. The church is getting behind because, I read them stats. Matter of fact, young folk have started abstaining in big numbers. That is alarming for some folk, especially when you compare those numbers with the numbers where people are joined together in holy matrimony and from that produce children. And then you look at silly policies that we try to enforce. Sister Taylor, we're at a point in America that I'm beginning to understand why many said when I was a young boy that America is not in the prophecy of the end times, because we may not exist is why. That could be a reason why. All because we don't have a healthy understanding of who God is and what our purpose is. We get saved not just so that we don't go to the other place. We get saved because we are then trophies. We are testimonies for God our Father. And you can't be a testimony, well, you can be one, but you'll be a bad testimony if you're living any kind of life. You've got to learn how to put this body into subjection. This body will make you do some crazy things. Matter of fact, has anybody's body ever made them do anything? Y'all better say, yeah. Nobody. Because I know you wouldn't do it, but your body would do it. Yeah, okay. All right. All right. Verse 5 says what? What's that word? Concupiscence. Concupiscence. It means exaggerated desire for intimacy. Since you can't spend all your time, and you know what? I tell you what, watch television if you don't believe we don't spend all our time. Normal shows. I ain't talking about that other stuff y'all watch. Normal show. Normal advertising. Everything has a sexual implication. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Why everything? You know, we talking about Frito-Lays and it's got to have, come on, please. Is it me? Am I just getting old? Have I crossed that threshold where nah, it seems that when all you have to do is look at the commercials and realize that we are heavily focused on that. And he says, it's too much. Christians don't live like that. Folk who know God don't act like that. And when you participate in it, and it's one, you know, it just went out of my mind, but I wanted to bring that one to you today. Matter of fact, I waited too long. That one went right out of my mind. But there's one, it just does not make any sense. And I'm trying to think, wait a minute. We're advertising this and we're talking about that there's, well, anyway. You guys know it. Don't have an inordinate desire for intimacy because that's not holy. Because what it does, it becomes perverse. Okay. Verse 6 says, tell me somebody, without even thinking, based on today's lesson and the text that we're talking about living for holy. What do you think that defrauding brother is? Did y'all limit that just to Paul Manafort and his guys for fraud? or the people that have just been locked up and charged with fraud. Yeah. That, you remember there was a commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me, but it also, the one that says that thou shalt not covet thy. That's what it is. You defraud one another, and especially a brother. That kind of stuff should not happen in the church. Paul says, don't do that, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And as we also have what? Forewarned you and testified. We told you right from the very start that God will deal with you for how you deal with one another. You may think you're getting away with it. Those few moments of pleasure of defrauding your brother and sister, but God will deal with you. And that's why you don't need to be fighting and acting the fool. Man, the internet and YouTube has given us a lot of insight into what's happening. Some of that stuff, you know, y'all laugh, but some of that stuff is crazy. That, and then I said, wait, was this a church or a nightclub? Oh, no, that was a church. Oh, is that right? He says, if you're going to live holy, you shouldn't defraud one another. You should not be dishonest. You should not covet that which is not yours. Especially, and we're talking about in an intimate way here. Verse 7 says what? I want y'all to read that with conviction. And then, because all of you who laughed at me a while ago about putting on the suit, the tie, and all that, now think about it in the context. That's where I got it from. Verse 7 says what? You know what? See, it's unclean. He's called us to holiness. And the issue is, you're talking about you have these new bodies, you have this new mind, you have this new heart, but yet you're putting trash in it. Y'all don't hear me. This is a tough one. It's a lot tougher than what it seems, especially by the time you get to verse 8. But it says, God has called us to holiness. God is holy, and he wants us to be holy. God is holy, and he wants us to. So why then do we accept so much stuff in the body of Christ? And you know what? This is no, you know what, you pointing fingers, and you know, uncleanness is uncleanness, whether it be in this area or that area. Whether you be a fornicator or a liar. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Or a gossiper. Gossiping is unclean. Wait a minute. Gossiping is unclean. Oh, y'all don't want to shake your heads, but I'm going to tell you what, you ain't no Barbie dolls. I mean, what they call them? Head, bobblehead dolls, but you better bobble that head, because gossip. Because let me show you. Everybody agreed, didn't they, Terry? That gossiping was unclean. But do you know that listening to gossiping is unclean? Oh, you didn't get that. Because let me tell you, most of the stuff that people want to talk about, it ain't never nothing good. They ain't never no good gossip. If there's something good about a person, you can barely get somebody to say, hey, you know Tracy over there won a scholarship? She became manager of the year? Don't say that. Do something wrong. Here they want to come and dump all of that on me. Hey, is Tracy in your Sunday school class? Yeah. But guess what? As soon as they say it, y'all remember that philosopher that I used to talk about, that I grew up with, Rose Dockery, my grandmother. She says, If you buy a garbage can, it is perfectly clean. You can eat out of it if you wanted to, a garbage can. But once you put garbage in it, it ain't good for eating no more. You're letting people come and deposit stuff into your spirit that wasn't there yesterday. You're gonna, and you know what? It's never about the world out there, because you think, well, they dirty anyway. But Lord, did you hear about old Fred and Steve Harmon? Oh, did you hear about Harry Taylor? Did you hear about Vanessa and Harry? Always wanted something bad. Don't deposit that stuff. But you know what I found? And I got a friend in here that will attest to. I don't let people bring me no whole bunch of junk, so they don't even come. I can't, look, I got enough junk in my trunk. I can't take no more. Keep that stuff to yourself, and you'll be wore down by it. Have you ever got a piece of news that just took you down? You were going on having a great day. You know why? Because it's unclean junk that's now in your spirit that the gossiper could have kept if you didn't let them come to you. Don't let people come to you. We don't live like that, folks. We shouldn't live like that. We are new. You want to be new? Stop gossiping. Don't worry. If that don't get you, I still got one more before y'all get out of here. Verse 8 says what? Now, many folk believe that verse 8 belongs with the rest of them say, but that's not true. He's still talking about holiness. And what it says there is, if you don't like the instructions you just got these last few minutes, don't take it out on Deacon Sneed. Take it out on God. That's exactly what it says. It says, this comes from the word of God. And if you despise, if you don't like these instructions, if you want to go out and do your own thing, it's not against us. It's against God. David put it this way. All sin, Lord, is against you. And it says, if you don't like what's going on in the word here that's being taught about holiness, it says that you despise God. You don't like God. It's not that you don't like what I'm saying. You don't like what God is saying. Now, you run on up there and tell them that to your face. But you know what? You do it. Because every time you ignore the instructions. You know, some sin, we call them slip-ups. Okay. For the people on the iPod, they didn't get that, but I don't know how you slip up. But yeah, there are some sins that you commit, you don't even realize you do it. Okay? But there's some sin, your eyes are wide open. You go in it full-fledged, knowing. You go in with a Tyrone Davis mentality. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. Oh, they don't want to talk to me. Okay. All right. But the issue is, you've got that sin, or I'm not hurting anybody. You know, this is just between me and you. No. No, can't be. You hurt other folk whenever you sin. You don't realize it. There's some sins that we're talking about. Personal sin, don't hurt nobody. I'm just doing it, you know. If you got a dope problem and you keep putting dope in your veins, that's sinful. That's sinful. I ain't hurting nobody but me. No. You're hurting your mom and them, your auntie, you're hurting all them people who, there's some people that thought a lot of you years ago. Now they hurt. But guess what? Every one of them, you may miss me sometime, but you hit God every time. Every time we sin. And that's why it's so important during this 40 days of prayer, as we are sharing how to pray and why we pray and for what we pray, and is that you always confess. You always, and you will notice in some of the training sessions that we have, you'll see those out of order, but they're not out of order. They're out of order for a purpose, for that teaching moment. They're trying to teach one particular thing. But you don't ever want to get too far in any prayer without confessing sin, because we all have sin. And I ain't talking about last year, okay? I ain't talking about last week. I'm not talking about yesterday. I had to pray so hard last night because I did a whole bunch of sinning yesterday, just in my thought life. See, because you gotta think about what you're thinking sometimes. Oh, hey, folks, this lesson today is very convicting, because it ain't for you. It's for all of us. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he has not gotten one report that anybody did any of this. He's just saying, if you're going to get ensnared, if we have a problem in the church, it'll be in one or two areas. The church now, we're talking about the church. Y'all got the two? Put them in your mind, mark them in your mind. Okay, you got them? Okay. In your home, if there's trouble in your home, it's in one or two areas. Y'all got that? Are there any similarities in your thought? Church and home. How many of you had the same two things on both lists for both church and home? Anybody? Sister Taylor is the only one. And Brother Snee. You know why? Those are God's institutions. And those are the places that you're going to have those problems. And those two is going to be either sex or money. Think about it. You got trouble in your house right now. I can trace it to those two areas. So mad. Oh, they so mad. They so mad. They can bite nails, you know, because they didn't get what they wanted. Money. Oh, they so mad. Because they didn't get what they wanted. Sex. The only two institutions that God ordained. And we still find that kind of stuff in it. Because our areas of contention. Because we rate those things higher than God. The reason why God wants us to live holy, because lust can become your God. Perverted intimacy can become your God. Love of money can become your God. And that's why he says, if you're going to be holy, you got to put that in check. Verse 9. Y'all ready for another element? All right, verse 9. So let's get off of that one. All right, verse 9. It's amazing. Jesus, everybody here knows that Jesus says, this is how they will know that you're my disciple, how you love one another. Paul says, that ain't the issue. But you know what? Love is not static. You got to abound in love. You don't learn to love one time and then you don't have to do it, or you don't actually do love one time. Love is continuous. Love is every day. Every day. And you know what? You're going to have to love more than your brothers, but you ought to love your brothers. How can you be fighting in the church all the time and talking about you love me? And everything the pastor want to do, you mad about. Everything Sister Taylor want to do with you mad about. Everything Kyle wants to do about advancing the kingdom. You mad about it. You want to find something new? There ain't nothing new. That's an old attitude. That's an old attitude. That's the same attitude you had in the world. You don't want nobody to get nothing up on you. You don't want to listen to nobody. But when you're a new creature, you can submit yourself, first of all, one to another, and you can submit yourself to the one triune God. Let him direct your path. Let him be your light. We're going to talk about that light next week. We're going to talk about an understanding and a new understanding next week. But for today, he says, you guys, y'all got the lesson on love. And look at verse 10. It says what? And indeed, Macedonia. In other words, you got the love thing down, but love even more. Love when it hurts. Love when times get tight. Love when times aren't right. Love when she's unlovable. I mean, he's unlovable. So I told you you have to walk lightly. You gotta love, because he's talking. He uses the term in verse 8, Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. But he's really saying, once you've learned how to love, your goal is toward agape love. And agape love is creative, redemptive goodwill for everybody. Yeah, you love your brothers at Macedonia. You love your brothers at Resurrection. You love your brothers in your fraternity. You love your sisters in your sorority. You love the people that are in your little circle. You love the people that are in your ministry. But he's saying, you ought to know how to love even more. You've been taught of God. Starts that off by saying where you got the love from. The source of the love that you have came from God. God doesn't love you just on when the sun is shining. God doesn't love you in the few times you got it right in your life. And believe me, it's been a few times. God has to love you unconditionally because he's a lover. And he says, if you're really going to love, he says, do more than love. Become lovers. Continuously love. Don't love me when everything is going right. Because that love will be intermittent. Because everything ain't going to go right. Don't love me when I'm right. Because then you will never love me. Because I just ain't right. I ain't right. And ain't. My wife is laughing because she know I'm imitating Sister Kendall. Sister Kendall said, it just ain't right. It just ain't right because you ain't right. So you got to love. And he says, we ought to love, we ought to abound in love. And love will make room for a lot of mistakes, folks. That's my next point. That's the one I really wanted to hit you. If you find yourself in a position, I shared with you 2 weeks ago, that you don't get tired of the work in church. You get tired in work. You're going to get tired from doing all this work, but you don't get tired of the work. The same thing with love. You don't love just because, oh, it's something nice to do. You love because God wants you to love. Because God wants you to be what he is. Y'all didn't hear me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God did that. While you were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's how much God. But God commended his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, not yet saved, while we were sinners in our sin, in our mess, dirty, filthy, God covered us in his love. And he says, you want to be like me? Love one another. And don't just love the people at Resurrection. Don't love the people that are in the usher's ministry. Don't just love the people that are deacons. Don't love people that are just the ministers or the preachers or the bishops or the potentates. Don't love everybody. Because he says, that's how you have a new life. It's easy not to like folk. It's easy. Y'all know. Turn on TV. It'll make you not like folk real easy. But he didn't say like people. He didn't say like everybody. He says love. And you know what? You love the new and the old. Because see, we got this thing in church. We sometimes will forget about the new folk. They ain't on our radar. But you know what, Brown? You know what I found out more and more? We forget all those folk that have been with us for 100 years too. They don't count. But those folk need to be loved. They need to be loved. You want to get excited about something? You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited when I see somebody who's been in the evangelism process, matriculated through the process, and now they're teaching. They've been here, that means they've been here over 3.5 years. I'm excited. Some folk get excited. Oh, we have so many new ones come in today. I'm excited about the ones that have completed and the ones that are new. You know why? Because one day they're going to complete, and that'll add to my excitement. New. You want to find something new, start right here. Start with your new heart, your new attitude, and a new way of living. And finally, the third element, we talked about holiness, we talked about love, but look at verse 11. Oh, Paul, where are you when I need you? Do you realize? Did y'all read verse 10 this week? Did anybody go skipping down the highway on verse 10 this week? Because let me tell you one thing. It says, if you really want to live and please God, if you want to have a new way of living, here's another way. It says, study to be quiet. Now, that study, it's not, I told you, like words are like people, they're known by the company that they keep. That study there is that be ambitious. See, normally you think about being quiet, you know, you subdued, you don't say anything. But it's more than that. It says you really got to put some effort in to shut your mouth. He says, stop it. He says, because here's what happens. If you at work, you've got to stop criticizing everything. Study to be quiet. Close your mouth. And do what? That's Paul's nice way of saying, tend to your own business. Folk, let me tell you one thing. This is the Resurrection Baptist Church. We have ministries. We have a model of ministry that says that we have five champions lined up under five purposes, and they each have a responsibility. When you start getting into other people's business, it'll cause strife. I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to everybody in here. I got my eyeball on everybody in here, to include myself. You got to stay in your own lane. You hear people talking about staying in your own lane? That's what they're talking about. He says, tend to your own business. Make it an ambitious effort to stay quiet. In other words, keep the peace. Because the moment you open your mouth, y'all remember that gossip thing a while ago? The moment you open your mouth, you open yourself up to a whole bunch of criticism, and you'll be to blame. And I'm now pick up on my latter point about gossip. I saved it for this verse right here. They come and bring you a bone. If you don't dismiss it, they will say, here's what they'll say. What did Harriet say? I can't remember what she said, but she said something. So you always say something. And you know what that something is? Don't bring me that mess. I love you, my sister. I love you, my brother. Don't bring me that mess. Please, let's try and just be quiet. You know, don't criticize Deacon Newsom like that. Don't criticize Deacon Reese like that. Don't criticize Sister Sneed like that. Don't criticize Sister Lay like that. You know, let's just be quiet and let's just pray. Let's just pray that the Lord will lead them, even if you think they're going down the wrong way. Now, don't get it twisted. You're to have concern. Oh, see, y'all think I'm up here teaching because I don't know this stuff. But go to Philippians 2:4. Because you know what? I saw somebody give me the eye. Give me no eye. Philippians 2:4. Philippians 2:4, right quick. Anybody? 2:4. I know it's there because it jumped in my mind as soon as I said it. So it's not being blasé, not concerned. Anybody there? What'd it say? Yeah. So it couldn't mean that. Doesn't mean that you're not concerned. It's just that you don't get become a busybody. Because busybodies, oh, praise the Lord. Go to 1 Peter 4:15. Let me tell you, because busybodies cause all the problems in the church. You find somebody running off their mouth, here's what you do. Sis, you know, I tell you what, I received that from you, but can you just give me some insight where you are in ministry at Resurrection? And listen to their feedback. They ain't doing nothing but being busy getting in other people's business. Because if you're busy in church work will wear you out. Y'all have heard me say it. You ain't got time for other folk. There's time that they don't sneeze. Don't you care about something? Man, let me tell you what. I care. I just ain't got the energy. And plus, it'll work out. And you need people in your life to speak that kind of stuff into you. That, hey, it's going to be, hey, don't worry. 4:15, what did it say? Somebody better shout up in here. Because you know what Peter just did, Harry? He lumped busybodies in with murderers and thieves. And you know what? They are. The word is exactly right. Because busybodies will steal all the energy out of a ministry. You'll spend more time having to deal with a loudmouth who's running into everybody's business, who's gossiping, carrying gossiping, depositing gossiping, gossip. You'll spend all your energy with those folk. And Peter said, you can count them with the murderers and thieves. Am I going to get paid this week? I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Verse 12. Verse 12. That's all right. Hey. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. So if you come up to a deacon, or if you come up to a trustee, if you come up to the pastor, and he says, you know, Deacon Sneed's got that. You know, go see Deacon Sneed about it. Go see Deacon Sneed. Don't have the pastor, don't have another deacon get involved in something that they shouldn't be getting involved in. Verse 12, as we go. That you can walk honestly, authentically, those people who don't know Christ. That's the whole purpose of you living to please God, is so that you'll be a testimony to the world, that your light will shine in the world for those folk who don't have Christ. Now, we're not talking about poor people now, we're talking about folk that don't know Christ, that you will be a good testimony to them. But you know, the thing that made me shout was the last clause there. Y'all read it. And that ye may what? If you do what God has told you to do, he has included a promise right there in verse 12. He says, you walk honestly among your fellow brethren and among the folk who don't know Christ. And I'll be with you and you'll lack nothing. Because as I'm with you, if I'm with you, I got all you need. You will never lack nothing. And many of us have failed to pick up this mantle of ministry, living for God in an authentic way, because we think we don't have enough. The word here tells us, if you do what God said do, you will lack nothing. In other words, you got everything you need to live a new life in Christ. I want to say it one more time. You ain't got to go to no school. You ain't got to go to no tongue-talking class. You got to do no holy dance class. If you live, make a legitimate attempt to be holy, to love, and to mind your own business diligently in work, you have everything you need. See y'all next week.